Now, the other side of Joe Biden comes out in an article in The Nation. Joe Biden's friends and backers come out on top at the expense of the middle class is the bold headline. And the writer, certainly someone familiar to those of us who've followed Delaware and politics for a long time, even when he was at the News Journal many moons ago, Joseph DeStefano, veteran business columnist and reporter, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philly.com. But in this case, his piece that appears in The Nation online. Joseph, thank you for joining us. What led you to do this article at this time?
Great to be here, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Well, you know, they called me. They were interested in somebody in who was familiar with Delaware. I had worked there in the past, back when I was with the News Journal, and who knew a few of the personalities and some of the stories and places to look. And so I agreed to look at it. But I said, you know, I don't expect that we'll find anything criminal here. And a lot of this material, you know, people have been over. The News Journal has certainly covered it. Politico recently has had a number of articles about incidents. And they said that was all right. They wanted me to stitch it together and do a longer view and kind of introduce people outside Delaware to the way things work here and how that shed light on the man who has been the front runner in the early days of the race for next year.
For long-timers who follow the news in Delaware, some of this will bring back deja vu. Yeah, I remember that, kind of forgot about it, and some of the stuff will be new, especially the newer stuff. What to you, I don't know whether you like this judgment verb, but what to you is the most damning of anything that has happened in Joe Biden's career?
Well, I don't like the word damning because I don't think there is a single incident or fact that ought to, in most cases, end anybody's career or be the single lens through which it's judged. I think what's extraordinary about his career is that it has gone on so long. You've got really close on 50 years now to observe and judge. And the patterns that apply in his case and to the Bidens are patterns we've seen for a very long time, ever since Benjamin Franklin became clerk of the Pennsylvania General Assembly and said very publicly he was glad because now he'd be able to stir printing contracts to his personal business. And his stepson or natural son ended up royal governor of New Jersey for a while and took a different view on politics. So you could argue that this is what is really extraordinary about this family is just the very long lens that we have. From the very time he was first elected and banks in three states rushed to lend money to a disco that his younger brother, who was just out of college, was starting, and that ended up predictably badly with all the banks losing money, and a senator blaming it on the banks, you know, wanting to get too close to him and trying to leverage him as a way to get their loans repaid. And that is a pattern that has continued with many variations. People want to be close to folks in power. When the senator has a family, people want to get close to the people in the family. And very often these projects don't work out. They don't make the partners rich. Sometimes the family comes off better than what the business people do, and yet they keep coming back.
As I was reading your piece, I couldn't help but think, you know, how much of this is a function of having been in Delaware, representing Delaware's interests as opposed to family interests. I guess at times they're difficult to separate. But for example, you know, Bernie Sanders, who wasn't completely as much as he is today against gun rights, but he reflected Vermont. And you could say Joe Biden reflected Delaware. But again, as you recount, sometimes some of these things that were more to the benefit of his family.
I think that Sanders' analogy is apt. The man was mayor of Burlington. Last time I was in Burlington, there was actually in the bookstore a little poster, "Should the left support Bernie Sanders?" Anybody outside of Vermont would think that's preposterous.
Yes.
But in Vermont, you know, it's an open question.
If I can interrupt, I mean, he cooperated with local Republicans. Sounds like Biden in a local sense.
Certainly. Well, Delaware, you know, on the one hand, is a very civil place. We talk about, you know, the Sussex County Return Day and the two parties, the candidates coming back and riding across the green and burying the hatchet. You know, that is really very different. Mike Castle's ads when he used to celebrate how the things we have in common, being able to at least identify common problems, even if we have different solutions. On the other hand, Delaware also has a very dark history. You know, this was the last state in the country to do away with the stocks, to do away with execution by hanging, to do away with slavery.
Yes.
It had to be done by the federal government. Almost no other place in America did that happen. Kentucky, the District of Columbia, and Delaware. And that is the result of an awful lot of coalitions. There were many, many votes to get rid of slavery. There were many, many votes to change a lot of things in recent years in which there was just not a consensus, so it wasn't done. And when Joe Biden went to Washington, he reflected the consensus back home. In that sense, he really did represent his constituents.
Well, the same thing got him in trouble on school busing. He reflected what many of his constituents believed in the 70s.
Very much so. And then he tries to move to the left because he perceives that the party is the national party where he has aspirations is not in the same place. And the really transcendent example of that is MBNA. From the 1970s, before there was an MBNA, there were a few years in which he served on the banking committee when there were very few banks in Delaware. There was a movement in the party by both parties, really, Democrats and Republicans in Delaware, to take advantage of the changing atmosphere in Washington. You know, the banks really got hammered in the 70s by high interest rates and inflation, and they just had a terrible time making money, and were able to get the Democrats who ran Washington to give them relief in the form of relaxing the powers that states used to have to control interest rates within the states. And Delaware was one of the very first states to take advantage of that, and the one located closest to New York that basically lifted its interest rate and fee consumer protections and reduced taxes on banks to the point where they are regressive. The more money you make, the less they tax you. Now, Joe Biden was already in the U.S. Senate when that was changed, and he very quickly became one of the big recipients of what became the largest of the credit card banks, political largesse, that being MBNA. Story very well chronicled by Celia Cohen at the Inquirer, Maureen Milford, you know, News Journal, myself when I was down there. And but what's interesting is to consider what happened 20 years on when MBNA kind of started coming apart and was taken over by Bank of America. All of a sudden, you had Joe Biden moving further to the left in his response to consumer lending issues. A big example of that is Sallie Mae. You know, Sallie Mae is based in Delaware, but when I called Al Lord about Joe Biden, Al Lord likes a lot of politicians in both parties. That's the man who ran Sallie Mae for 30 years, really made it what it is. He had nothing good to say about his relations with Senator Biden. He had had a lot of help from Jack Markell and the state legislature. That's why they located in Delaware. He had had a lot of allies in the Philadelphia and in the upstate Pennsylvania congressional districts. He could get no juice out of Biden when he really needed it in the mid-2000s.
I mean, that reminds us where Markell was then seen as more pro-business than Joe Biden.
I believe that they started from very much the same place. And during the course of the decade of the 2000s, when Joe is no longer elected by Delaware, when he is now a national politician, I think they really uncouple. And the person who went further along that chain and actually clashed with Markell from the left was not Joe Biden, it was Beau Biden, his son, who, when he was attorney general in Delaware, was one of the few to stand up, and this is in my story, an ally to Snyderman up in New York and say, we got to go after the banks. This isn't right what they've done, when Markell was very strongly defending the banks.
Yes, when Beau Biden and Joe Snyderman are on the same side, that tells you something.
Yes, and it was not the legacy of Joe Biden at that point, but that is the direction that he was starting to move in because there was no downside. MBNA was gone. The independent credit card banks, with exception of Capital One, that wasn't really a Delaware bank, were all gone, and there was no reason anymore for him to take that position, to be defensive of the banks as he had in the past.
Let me just tell our listeners, we're talking to Joseph DiStefano, veteran business columnist, reporter, Philadelphia Inquirer. Worked many moons ago at the News Journal, contributor to The Nation in this case. A major article, Joe Biden's friends and backers come out on top at the expense of the middle class. It's really the best recount I've seen, reminding us, or maybe for some of us, telling us for the first time about the other side of Joe Biden over the years and decades. One thing that you spent a lot of time on in your piece, and is more recent, at least given all the news of the day about Ukraine, is the auto dealership. Do tell, if you could, in a few minutes.
Well, John Hinansky has been one of the most successful people to come out of the Delaware auto industry. You know that the Bidens and the Hinanskys appeared in Delaware in roughly the same period. And both John Hinansky, who was born as a refugee in Germany and grew up here, and Joe Biden the elder, you know, who had been part of a very successful war contractor business during World War II, ended up selling cars. And their careers had very different trajectories. You know, Biden Sr. worked for different dealerships. He ended up, at one point, he was selling condos for Patterson Schwartz. John Hinansky was really good at it and ended up with a real chain of dealers. I believe, ultimately, there were dealers in four different states that were part of his winner organization. His son, Michael, still runs it. After the divorce, even before that, in the mid-2000s, John Hinansky had been invited, had been suggested that he visit Ukraine, his parents' home country, and see what he could do about developing Ford dealerships there after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And he went over there at a difficult time with a lot of opportunity in the early 1990s, and he built a dealership by the mid-1990s, and in the late 90s he started bringing over Ford's European brands, you know, Land Rover and Jaguar. He brought in Peugeots, eventually Bentleys, which is a different company, and did very, very well. And at the same time, of course, he, like any good auto dealer that has to deal with the enormous restrictions and regulations on that business, he got to know politicians, he got to give to politicians, Republicans, Democrats, Joe Biden among them, and eventually the family donated to Beau Biden as well. Most recently, they've donated to Donald Trump, but substantially to Joe Biden and to the Democrats when Joe Biden was running for vice president, a very key donation a month before the election. I believe it was $28,000 to one of the national organizations. And several months later, Joe Biden is in Kiev, which at that time, there was actually had been a ban on a certain kind of U.S. aid to companies in Ukraine because the U.S. government was very suspicious of where a lot of that aid was going and how those deals were being managed. Joe Biden comes in. He says, it's a new day. We're really going to back what you people are doing here. My good friend John Hinansky is here in the crowd with us. And, you know, they're an example of what ought to be happening. And very quickly, that ban on OPEC support for U.S. companies, that bar was lifted, and the deals began to flow again. And one of the first beneficiaries, a relatively small loan, was the winner dealerships in Kiev. 3 years later, it became a $20 million loan, and that organization has continued to expand. The Hinanskys have done a great job. John Hinansky has really in, you know, dealing with shifting governments over there. They've become a successful enterprise. They've given a lot back to the community. In the meantime, John Hinansky has given, you know, some things back that were a benefit to people around the Bidens. There was the $500,000 loan to the brother who had an estate down in Florida that got wiped out by a hurricane and had to be sold at a discount. There was the relatively very small investment, a very crucial investment in the scheme for a Delaware Stock Exchange, the Delaware Board of Trade, that ended up involving $3 million in Newcastle County money.
Yes.
That they've been trying to get back ever since. They're still getting their interest rate payments. It's unclear where that is going. But there's a lot of political people involved in the company that now owns that stock exchange.
Well, Tom Gordon administration, a lot of people forget, I mean, was a major conduit on that ill-fated exchange.
Well, they were. I talked to Tom the other day, and he says, you know, they really ought to get their money back. But there are several people from the Biden camp who became involved in that enterprise. And there are people in the Trump camp that are involved with the owner of that enterprise, including Shane McMahon, who is the son of Lyndon Vincent McMahon, the wrestling entrepreneurs who, you know, who the president has been involved with for 20 years. And she is now the head of his main super PAC. And so they're kind of playing.
Talk about coincidence, huh? I mean,
well, some of the investors involved in that deal on the Chinese side are related to people who are involved with funds that that Hunter Biden has been involved with.
And since you mentioned Hunter Biden, I got to ask you, is there any indication that Hunter became more aware of Ukraine and might have had the wheels greased for him in terms of going over to that company as a member of the corporate board of directors because of the auto dealer connection?
A lot of people are writing about Burisma. I did not go there in this story. You can find a lot on that. What I did look at was the China investments, some of which are very close to home in Delaware, a lot of which are very controversial after the fact. And the situation is that during the Obama and Biden administration, those kind of investments were wide open, where American money could be going to a lot of Chinese deals, and Chinese money could be going to a lot of strategic and sensitive deals in America, in Central Africa, where the copper and cobalt mines that are so important to, you know, electric cars and smartphones are, and nobody said very much about it. And in hindsight, these are very, very volatile, sensitive-looking deals, and the family, you know, had an involvement with funds that were all over those kinds of arrangements. And it raises a very natural question, as do the many Trump deals in those countries, as to how do you keep, you know, your family's business interests separate from the political interests of the United States.
In your assessment, does it make it difficult then for a President Joe Biden to take a tough line on China, just as Trump is also, to some extent, maybe compromised for some of the same reasons?
Well, that is the key question. And what I don't think we can point to is a case in which a company in China, you know, was the beneficiary of decisions that were made in order to benefit the family personally. I'm not aware of that at all.
Yeah.
It's a question of appearances. It's a question of connections. It's a question of, if you're close to these people, how do you go against them? And an answer for that comes with a company here in Philadelphia, Hill International, which very cheerfully hired, you know, the vice president's brother to be the head of an operation they were trying to put together that involved government contracts in Iraq. And the same company had government contracts in Libya. And the Libyan contracts were completely blown out of the water by the, you know, Obama-Biden attack on Libya that destroyed the government. And so, again, there's a company that really signed up with the Bidens and had nothing to show for it. They lost two foreign deals that they thought were shoo-ins, and the administration did nothing for them. They took policies that went in an opposite direction and ended up costing that company a lot of money. And yet they came back for more. They really wanted to be close to the seat of power, and that's on the business. It's not on the company. The Bidens could argue similarly that, yes, we can have people in our family doing business with these companies, but that doesn't mean that we are going to favor those companies or make a lot of money for them. I still think we need to learn more about, you know, the Bidens' relationship with Elaine Chao, for example. Last time I was at Delaware to see Joe Biden talk, that's who he was on stage with, was the Commerce Secretary, former Transportation Secretary. I'm sorry, the Transportation Secretary, the former Labor Secretary, who has been very close to a lot of government-connected businesses in China.
And we've seen what the effects on Mitch McConnell's Kentucky, but I digress a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. 922, for people listening, Joseph DeStefano, Philadelphia Inquirer, major article about Joe Biden in The Nation online. I want to go back to two other things quickly before we end this. One is, one can only speculate, a Bo Biden as governor and even perhaps going for higher office, whether he is a more idealistic example than his father, or whether he would have run afoul of the Delaware way eventually if he were true blue in the purest sense.
Well, you know, his donors very often were his father's donors. And when his donors got in trouble and were investigated, some of them, that really spilled over. But it's also true that the son, Joe Biden has said such very positive things about his son, how he had many of his father's better characteristics and very candidly lacked some of the negative ones. We don't know what that career would have looked like. There are people who are skeptical, but I think it's Joe Biden's own contention that his son could have really, really accomplished a great deal in this country.
One more thing, if I may ask, we haven't talked much about Fisker, and that comes up in your story. Another thing that imploded big time.
Well, Fisker was a mess, and there again, it was Governor Markell. But when I asked Governor Markell at the time, why on earth are you risking state money on this real moonshot of a company from, you know, half from the whole continent away that there's no real connection here? And his answer was, well, you know, and I heard this from Republicans too, there's an awful lot of money coming in from the federal government. Whatever we're risking in Delaware, the upside potential for this is very, very large. And then they went on, you know, a company backed by some of the same investors, Bloom Energy, that's continuing to cost people in Delaware money without providing hoped-for jobs.
Unless we forget, putting on a political hat here for a moment, this may explain the migration. Many Republicans who voted, shifted parties to vote Democratic in the gubernatorial primary for Markell, and arguably they never went back to the Republican Party, and that then engendered the for Tea Party movement, and then later Trump voters downstate and made the Republican Party much more indelibly hard right, Trumpian, Sussex County based, and it started with the migration of those Brandywine 100 Chateau Country Republicans to Markell.
I don't think you're wrong. And what I've also seen, to my surprise, is some of the really hardcore Republicans in the northern part of the state, people with a corporate background, who when I call them, they say, wouldn't Joe Biden be good for Delaware if he gets in there as president, party differences aside? And I got no traction with that at all. There were a lot of people there who were very bitter, very negative, told me stories that I was unable to substantiate and in some cases found were not true. But there's this whole anti-Biden folklore that these people have developed over the years.
Yeah, this is another interesting thread. Gotta go, time-wise. Joseph DeStefano, great pleasure. We'll do it again.
Thanks very much, Alan. God bless.
Thank you, sir. God bless. And his piece in The Nation.